We're going to learn a thing or two as we observe a setting up of leadership. Next, on Sound Doctrine.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
From Calvary Chapel Downey comes Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. Welcome to the program. We're in 1 Chronicles chapter 23 today. Whether you're pastoring, leading a small group Bible study, or a team of volunteers at church, there is something in this passage you can take in and apply. You see, God has all the tools and help that we need to lead in a way that, well, quite frankly, pleases Him. Let's lean in and hear what He has to say.
You know, we're a body. We're fingers. We're muscles, corpuscles. We're ears. We're just many different parts of the body, but we're all of one body. And those members that we think are feeble, you know, nah, that's not important. You can't even see it, man. It's your toes and your shoes. They never get seen. They never get anything. They never get praise or anything. They're just steadying on. Yeah, but chop your toe off and see how you do. You think it's feeble, huh? You think it's for nothing? No, it balances you. You need your toe. And so be careful when you're thinking, you know, the nursery workers, oh, man, they never get seen. They're just with the screaming babies over there. No, not screaming. They're being loved. And the kids are being taught. And you think that's a low position, nobody sees them. But they're more needed than ever. Look at the atmosphere we have in here. Look at the blessing. And you're able to come and have your kids loved and taught the word and be sitting here in a teaching atmosphere, quiet, and be ministered to by God's word. So these are members that are very important. We need, and it says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we should bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. In other words, next time you see a nursery worker, hug them. Thank you. Bless you. Let them know, man. That's a ministry to them. That's their giftings. That's what they do. And they're anointed for it. They get through to the kids. And they know it. And they're always there. So let that be a lesson. And then he says, for there are comely parts of no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. So the vital organs, and there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, that whether one member suffers, we all suffer. One member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. See, we feel, we sense what's going on. We're connected. Christ is the head, and he's running the body, and he's working it all together, and he's binding us together in this close unity. We're from all walks of life, from all different cultures, from all different places, and yet we're all together in the body of Christ. He brings us together to be one beautiful, flowing gazelle. Have you ever seen those gazelles jump all at once, you know, on those stations in Africa? Man, whoo, whoo, whoo. Man, that's what the body of Christ needs to be doing. But when it's retarded, and something's wrong with it, it's not a pretty scene. It's ugly. It's horrible. So God, bind us together in your love, in your spirit. Cause us to work as one body. And we begin to feel and sense one another. When one is hurting, we're all hurting. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. We're reaching out. And Jesus said, and when they see that you have love to one another, that's when there's going to be a witness. So I could spend all night in Corinthians, but I won't. We got to finish this chapter. Verse 2 says, he gathered together all the princes of Israel, which he did in chapter 22, verse 17. Remember, David wanted to make sure that Solomon had all the help he could get. So he gathered all the heads of state and everybody, and he gathered all the ones that are anointed, all the ones that are the priests and the Levites, and he said, I want you guys to give 100% to help my son do what needs to be done. Go for it, man. So he gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. I look at the priests as, you know, the pastors, you know, as elders. And then I look at the Levites as sort of the ones doing the practical things as the deacons, those that are, you know, busy about taking care of the structure and taking care of the flow of everything, whereas the priests are the ones doing a lot of the teaching and ministry aspects. Now, verse 3, the Levites were numbered from the age 30 years and up. So remember that number, 30 years and up. They had to be 30 years of age. They figured you're an adult then. You hear what I'm saying? You guys that are, I'm 18. I'm 18. So? Well, just letting you know. Okay. Not until you're 30. Can you do this? Can you get involved in this? And he says, and their number by the polls, man by man, worth 38,000. So as he's counting the Levites, as he's not doing something that, remember when he started counting the people, he was trying to see how many he had for war? I mean, that's one thing God said, don't you do that. Trust me, I'll fight your battles. Stand still, for the battle is the Lord's, right? Trust me, okay? That's on battles and wars. But when it came to ministry, he's counting. I want to see how many people are ready to go and how many people, are ready to get into their ministry. That's what I want to see. How many do we got? So he's counting them. And there was 38,000. Now, verse 4, of which 24,000 were to set forth the work of the house of the Lord. So all this is for the house of the Lord. All this is, we're good, you know, and look at David. He's the king. I was so excited when I found out that there was a president in Guatemala. He was a Sunday school teacher in his church there in Guatemala. He became president, Christian, born again. Went on the radio every night and gave a Bible study to his people. The only president in the world that was born again. And I got to meet him, and I got to go in his palace. And we were over there a number of times. It's unbelievable. Well, here's David. Everything's about the house of the Lord. We need to get back to God. We need to start doing the things that God wants us to do. And we need to strengthen those things. Because it's all about him, guys. It's all about his will being done, not ours. It's all about serving him because he's creator. Who do we think we are? You're going to do this and you're going to do that, and I'm going to have more tanks and more missiles than you, and we're going to show you. Okay, you're going to get in a whole lot of trouble. No, this nation, we need to turn back to God. That's our problem. And if we don't, we've already seen what's going on. And that's just a light little sprinkle of what's up ahead. It is going to get really crazy. I mean, we're so, I don't have to remind you about this, do I? We're so in debt. It's so bad that we're just going down for a collapse. Oh, Jeff, don't say that. No, that's where it's headed. You can't do what we've done and not have an economic collapse. That's where we're at. That's where everything's going. That's why they can't decide anything in Washington. They're in total confusion. They're in total debt. They're without any power whatsoever because their house is out of order. When your house is out of order and when your house is divided, guess what? That house falls. That's where we're at. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for our senators. We need to pray for our congressmen. Because that's what the Bible says. Pray for them. That God will get a hold of them. So this is for the work of the Lord. And 6,000 officers to oversee the Levites and judges. They were going to be there and just oversee the whole thing. Moreover, 4,000, verse 5, were porters, security guys. You need 4,000 for the temple of the Lord to be security. They needed security. They wanted a secure place. We have a lot of security guards here. Did you know that? You hardly ever see them, but there's a lot of them. Why? Because we're living in crazy days. We need security. And we got cameras everywhere and all that good stuff. Why? Because we need to be secure. And the 4,000, oh, this is great. David had 4,000 that praised the Lord with instruments. He assigned 4,000 that were gifted with the instruments. And notice, David kind of brags a little bit here, which I made. He gave him instruments that he made. He designed the instruments. He was such a worshiper himself as a kid. He just grew up whittling and doing this stuff, making harps and guitars and whatever. He's really, you know, he's more than a warrior. David was a worshiper. He loved the Lord. He loved to sing praises to God. You know, he might have been a man with bloody hands, but he had a great voice and a great heart turned towards the Lord, especially as he learned about God's grace and his forgiveness in his life. Man, he said, man, we need praisers. We need those that are just constantly singing and worshiping the Lord. So there's an atmosphere of just that fills the air of worship. Sometimes I know you guys come in a little late and you hear the worship. You hear it as you're coming in. And then you enter in and you go, wow, we made it. You know, we're here. You know, and then you sit down and you start getting into it. It's just such an awesome thing to praise the Lord. And especially with the instruments that David made to praise therewith. So the importance of worship and music. And David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershom and Goath and Merariah. And what these are is three different groups that this was all divided in. Those of Gershon were the ones that the Gershonites, verse 7, were the ones that had made the skins for the tabernacle and watched over them and took care of them. Now, I don't know what they were going to do. We're going to find out what they were going to do now because you won't need the skins anymore. There were skins of seals, dolphins that were laid over the tabernacle. And Kohath guys, they carried all the furniture. Everywhere that the tabernacle went, they were involved in the furniture. And Maria, they were involved in the structure itself, the building structure of the tabernacle. So the Gershonites and then the sons of Ladan and the sons of Shimei, I'm moving quickly now, and the sons of Shimei were, and then he names their sons. And then in verse 12, the sons of Kohath, Amram, and the sons of Amram, Aaron. Remember the priests? And Moses, Aaron was separated. So there was, it went on with Moses. It started there, the organization of the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt, bunch of slaves. They didn't know who they were. There's lost in the wilderness. God taught them. God was with them. And God caused them to be very organized. And all of a sudden, they're being lifted up. All of a sudden, King David comes forth and starts taking over and wipes out all their enemies. Man, who is this tribe called Israel? You know, who are these Israelis? What's with them, guys? Man, they're powerful. Did you hear what happened in this war and that war and this war? They just went in there and they just cleaned house and they won every single one of them. How could that be? God was with them. God brought them back to the land. God set them up as a nation. The only nation that has ever existed throughout all the eons of history, Israel. Wait, have you seen an Assyrian lately? Have you seen a Babylonian lately? And so this is one nation that actually became a nation later on, thousands of years. So David, from Moses to Aaron, separated, that he should sanctify the most holy things. So here is now he's setting up of the lineage and who's to do what? Take care of the most holy things. He and his sons forever, he says, to burn incense. And so incense was part of the prayers of the people to God. You see, they would light that special incense, and it would be the smoke that you would see. And that was a symbol and a type of their prayers going up to God. So burn the incense before the Lord and minister to him. I love that. Their ministry was to minister to him. Isn't that great? That our ministry could be to minister to him. Well, how can I do that? When you come in here, when you, first of all, show yourself in here and sit with the saints and you start to worship the Lord, you're ministering to him. You're blessing him. You've never even seen him and you're worshiping him. You're calling him your Lord and your Savior and you're blessing his holy name. You are worthy, O Lord. I worship you and you alone. He almost falls off his throne hearing that. I mean, he's just going, oh, those are my children, man. Look at this. And he's just so blessed by every time we gather him. And that's why his presence, that's why the Bible talks about that as we worship him, he inhabits the praises of his people. That's why you just sense that presence of the Lord as we're worshiping together. Even as we are gathered here right now, speaking of his word, his presence is here. He's ministering to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, guiding us into all truth, taking care of things in our hearts that need to be talked about, that I know nothing about, but he does. And every time you come here, you should be getting a victory from the word of the Lord. God should speak to you about things you haven't heard before or that you heard and you went, uh-oh, he's going to touch that again. Yo, you know, he's speaking to me, you know. I had no idea. Nobody called me, told me about what you're going through. But God knows everything, sees everything. And he brings us here to minister to us. Why? So we can go turn around and minister to others out there tomorrow, wherever we go. He's preparing us for the place he has prepared for us. So, verse 14, concerning Moses, the man of God, his sons were named the tribe of Levi. Do you remember Aaron's sons? He had two sons, Nadab and Abihu. And Nadab and Abihu did something bad. And that's, they got drunk. They're sons of a priest, okay? Aaron. And it's in Leviticus chapter 10. They got drunk and they went in and lit strange fire and thought they could act like the priest. And they were a little, you know, tipsy. And thinking they were big shots, and they went into the temple, started messing around, and started to burn strange incense. And they were trying to be somebody that they weren't. And God, they both died right on the spot. They were just burned to crisp. And Aaron had to hear this, that his sons got drunk, went in the temple, and started to mock the things of God, and God took them out. Aaron says, oh my gosh. And Moses said to Aaron, listen, Aaron, you have a ministry. You need to serve the Lord. You need to keep your eyes on the Lord and help God's people to keep their eyes on the Lord during this incredible loss of yours, in this incredible emotional freak out. And God has encouraged me time after time when I go through these trials, and I go through some trials with family or whatever, and he just says, eyes on me, eyes on me. You're ministering, and you got to encourage God's people, and I'll take care of the kids. And that's exactly what Moses told him. The others will bury your children. They'll get buried. Don't worry about it. Don't fret. It's done. Let's move on. Eyes on him. God allowed it. God did it. You know, what are we going to say? But what a chapter. You can read it later on. Leviticus chapter 10. The sons of Moses were Gershom and Eleazar. Of the sons of Gershom, the sons of Eleazar, the sons of Izhar. Verse 18, the sons of Hebron, the sons of Uzziel, sons of Meriah, the Eleazar. Oh, here, verse 22. Eleazar died and had no sons but daughters. And their brethren, sons of Kish, took them. Now, what he's really talking about is David's setting up the maintenance staff for the temple. And he's setting up those that would take care of the temple before it gets here, so they can be preparing for what they're to be doing when the temple gets here. So I thought very interesting. The son of Mushi, and then down in verse 24, there's a new office now of the Levites. In other words, they're going to break tradition, and they're going to change some things. Interesting, I found a scripture over in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 15. Let me read it to you. This is 2 Thessalonians 2, 15. He says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle." The exhortation there is hold on to those things, the old religion. Hold on to the word of the Lord. Those stones that were set of old. Hold on to those things. Yes, change will come. You know, remember the fiddler on the roof? Tradition, tradition. What was he saying? He was saying there's a new world coming. All the traditions that we had are out the window. They're going to be changed. He saw it coming. Tradition. But, he said, how have we stayed together for so long? How have we done what we've done as Jews? Tradition. So there is the good with, you know, the bad. You know, sometimes people say, you know, you're changing this and you're changing that. Well, there's change that comes. So I love what this one guy said. He said, take from the altars of the past the fire. Take the fire and not the ashes. Believe it. Think about that for a while. So true.
Thank you for studying alongside of us here at Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson has more to say, so keep it right there. You can listen to us online at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. You know, many people have questions about the end times right now, like how close are we to the Lord's return? Well, not long ago, Pastor Jeff visited Israel. While he was there, the Lord gave him a word to share with the body of Christ. It's detailed for you in a special DVD. It's called End Times Scenario, and we'd gladly send it to you for just $10. Stop by sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Please remember, your gifts help to make all of this possible, so thank you for standing with us. Again, at sounddoctrineradio.org. We realize some of you are hurting right now, and others greatly discouraged by what all has been taking place. We'd love to pray for you. Email those prayer requests to us, sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Again, sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Now let's get back into 1 Chronicles, chapter 23.
Verse 24, these were the sons of Levi after the house of their fathers, even the chief of the fathers, as they were counted by number of the names of their polls. And they did work for the service of the house of the Lord from, notice, age 20 years and upward. So what's up? Well, things are changing. It's not 30 anymore. For David said, the Lord God of Israel has given rest. And through David, who cleansed the land of the enemy, there has never been such peace. Throughout Solomon's kingdom, there was never such peace. It was incredible for hundreds of years. Rest unto his people, that they may dwell in Jerusalem, notice, forever. Well, that wasn't going to happen, because they were going to get away from the Lord, and the Lord was going to pull them out of there.
Our series in 1 Chronicles continues after the weekend on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,